you're tuned into Two is Better Than One with your host, Arlene.
Welcome, everybody.
And DJ
you
Jesse.
Are tuned into Adelante with Arlene, and I am your host, Arlene. Today, I have the pleasure of once again co-hosting Two is Better Than One with my friend, DJ Johnny C from Long Island. Today, we have no idea what we're going to talk about, but that's okay. That's okay. We hope to share with you, make you laugh, and well, hopefully, help you through the day. Don't forget, give me a thumbs up. Check out those playlists that I have, which I have many. Remember that while the videos might be dated as an older date or year, the content will be relevant from here to eternity. Absolutely. Because the content definitely is not about trends. It's about life. And we share. So don't forget, share my video. Let your friends know about this channel. Also, give a thumbs up. And that means like. Send me some love. Leave a comment. Don't forget, I have links for apparel. Without further ado, let's bring on my friend, DJ Johnny C.
Let's get started.
This is DJ Johnny C. Two is better than one. It doesn't get better than this.
Welcome, Johnny, DJ Johnny C. I'm so excited that you're back onto our show. How you doing, my brother?
Me too. It feels good. Feels Johnny, like I never left.
Oh, my God. Well, everybody knows that you and I started the Two is Better Than One together, but we also have our brother, our friend, Duran, from the group Trilogy, and he also does some of the Two is Better Than One. When you're busy or he's busy, we do interchangeably, and we all love each other, and we're excited because we all have our different experiences and point of view. But I'm so excited. You know, there's always a different energy with both, and whomever you either a co-host with or interview, it doesn't make one better than the other. It's just different and fantastic either way. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, to
throw it out there, I have Trilogy's records.
Yes.
I have them.
And we come from the same family of music as well as the same family in the Lord. So that's pretty
absolutely.
Best,
God
the
bless.
Best thing ever.
Amen.
So Johnny. You and I, we always laugh on this segment we do. We just laugh. We share. We're so open. I am excited. I want to hear something happened recently, and you wanted to share it. Won't you share it with us?
Well, I don't find it coincidental that we're doing the show today. And last night, for the first time, I think, ever, I had a vision from the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
I don't think it was a dream, because dreams I forget about when I wake up. This, I vividly still remember it. And the most thing I remember is the glow from, and this was an uncle of mine that passed away many years ago in the 90s, and I miss him and I think about him, but I don't know why he came to me last night. And what I remember the most is his smile and his glowing smile. I think he's definitely with the Lord. And he apologized to me, because sometimes we were bad and we acted up. We were children. We'd run around and we didn't behave. And we weren't bad kids. We were children. And, you know, I don't have to get into it, but back in the day, the Italians that came from Brooklyn and Staten Island, if you didn't listen, you know, you got a smack on the behind. You got, you know, the belt sometimes. I mean, aunts, uncles, and Italian families, there were no... only the fathers or the mothers do it. Uncles did it too. And what the reason I'm bringing it up is I vividly remember him apologizing to me and saying he was sorry. And I can't get it out of my head. That's why I think it was a vision by the Holy Spirit. Like, how many times do we dream and then we wake up? You may remember it a couple of minutes, but then it just goes away. This is like in my head.
Now, was this apology something that you needed?
No, I don't. I don't know why he apologized to me.
Okay, okay.
But what I'll never forget is the glow, the smile. I guess it's like people that say they see Christ, and the glow, the I can't explain
when
it.
When you're in the presence of God, right? Sometimes we see movies that try to show something that we haven't seen yet, right? And
see
it, and sometimes we look at it as a science fiction thing, those that are not believers, you know? And the truth of the matter is, Moses, when he was up on the mountain, you know, and, you know, we cannot look at the face of God, because if we look at, it's just, God is so mighty, so powerful, so full of light that we cannot. So Moses wanted to see, you know, God, you know, he wanted to see his face. When he saw God, we had the burning bush, he came down from that mountain all great, if you remember. You know, you saw it in the Ten Commandments. He had changed. His face had changed. He had a glow. And you don't see, read about people in the Bible that had seen Father God like that. Moses did. You know, Moses did. And so when we are in the presence of God, or when we have the Holy Spirit in us, if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, I know people don't understand, but when I first got saved, Johnny, people said to me, something different about you. Seriously. It came, they were looking at me and I was like, I don't know what they're talking about. This happened to me more than once. Something different about you. Oh, you're glowing. That's the words that they used. And, you know, that's not something you and I see in ourselves in this realm, you know, and we look in the mirror, we don't see a glow, but others recognize the Holy Spirit in us. And that's the Holy Spirit who allows their eyes to see that.
I want you to tell your listeners, the first time I was introduced to you by your husband, what did I tell you when we started talking on the phone? I'm not even going to mention.
Oh, that you felt the Holy Spirit when I spoke.
That you were blessed. You were blessed and graced with the Holy Spirit. And I felt the presence. It was incredible. It was incredible. I feel blessed that God lets me feel his presence.
Isn't that awesome?
I feel special.
Absolutely. Because you and I and all that love the Lord are special to him. You know, the Bible says that he has no favorites. But, you know, I believe that that's discernment, that sensing of his spirit can only come if you love him and you spend time with him.
You know, you said something that I have to remember sometimes. And you just hit a real deep subject. Sometimes we forget, and I'm going to use an example. Somebody cuts you off and you're driving, and just to vent, you a-hole, or this, that, and you got to remember, you know, God loves all of us. God loves everyone. It doesn't matter what you look like, fat, skinny, big, small, black, white. You know, I don't think, even me, I think sometimes I have to remind myself of these things that, you know, we're all brothers and sisters. It's hard sometimes. It really is. And forgiveness is very hard to do sometimes. And the most important thing you have to do is thank God for what he gives you in your life, and not, and I catch myself doing this sometimes. Why don't I have $1 million house? How come I'm not driving a $150,000 car? How come they have this? And then I catch myself and I say, you know what? I'm pretty well off because of the Lord. Like, you need to take a step back and appreciate what he did for you. I mean, like you've told me 100 times, the Planet Beat, that's not my show. You keep reminding me that. It's the Lord's show. This isn't your show. He'll do what he wants with it.
I think that's just it. We all, like the Bible says, you know, we haven't arrived. We haven't gotten to that place where it'll happen when we're already in heaven, the perfection. So we're being perfected every day. And because we live in a world that, and we have our senses and you know, and we can smell, see, feel, touch, and we have our emotions the way we do. You know, we have life and things outside that contribute to our emotions, to making us uncomfortable, to making us angry, to making us, you know, and that's where the test comes in. Because what happens with me is that I work from home, right? And I feel like I'm working. So I try to stay in God's presence in the manner I can do this by putting worship music per se, or by throwing a prayer out for somebody right there while I'm working, you know? It is difficult because we have all these outside influences that every day try to distract us. You know, exactly what you said about $1 million. Well, we're trying to pre-qualify for a house. And every time I'm pushing one way, then comes seven little things saying, well, you got to fix this. You got to fix this. You got to fix this. Then comes the negativity that's not of God. And it says, well, maybe you shouldn't get a house because you guys can't afford it anyway. And you're not going to be able to when you're getting old. And if you're getting old, what you going to do? You're going to have a mortgage for so long. And then all this horrible feelings come in. And so it's like, boom, get back into line with God. Get back into line with God. Get back into the line with God. It's what God says. It's God's timing. It's God's leadership. You know, it's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because the thing is, we're supposed to cooperate with God. Some of us as Christians, including myself, think that it is just sit there, claim it, name it, and it's done. No, there is a process. There's work. We got to work every day. We got to seek Him every day. We got to be open to redirection every day. And it's we don't always do it right. We miss the mark, you know? But we got the Holy Spirit, and if we pay attention, you know what's going to happen, you know?
He's going to provide for you when you need, when the time is right. Because 3 years ago, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was trying to move, and I was like, you, oh my God. And it just all fell in place. And I'm very happy because the Lord provided for me.
Amen.
He put me where I'm happy. I'm very happy where I am. I have a studio in my new place, and I'm just in a good place. And it's all, I tell Him this every single day. When I'm backing into my space at work in the morning before I get out of my car, I thank Him for everything He's given me, because if it wasn't for Him, I'd have nothing. That's the honest to God truth.
I believe that that is the key. You know, it's that thanksgiving. When you thank God for what you have, it kind of redirects you into not looking about what you think you need or what you want, because He knows the best, you know? I was talking to a friend of mine. He's my friend from New York City, and he lives in North Carolina now. And we were discussing the different way of life for both of us, being that we're no longer in New York City. And I think that I was very conditioned. No, I don't think it. I know it. I was very conditioned, and so was he, to want more in a sense of materialistic things. We women in New York, most of us, we don't like to repeat our clothing. If you go to work and you wear those pants that week, you are not going to wear it again. We think very hard about that, you know? What's the latest fashion? What's the latest boots? You think that we own one coat? No, we don't own one winter coat. We own various different winter coats and various scarves. Excessiveness. We are very excessive in New York City. And I'm going to tell you that something drastically changes in us. It happened to my friend in North Carolina, and it happened to me in Florida, that it's not that we don't care about how we look. It's that, and we're both Christians, he and I, we both start realizing that that doesn't matter to us anymore. It's like we got stripped of it, and we're getting stripped of it.
It's also an easier way of life, and I'll tell you how, and quickly. Where you are, you could just put shorts, a t-shirt, tank top, and flip-flops on. I love it too. It's a very easy way of life. You're comfortable. It's easy. Here, it gets cold. You got to have your jackets. You got to have your shoes. You got to have, you know, and it's different. And one thing that you got to remember with you, I'm talking about Arlene, you know, you forget, you know, one, you were a city girl from New York. Number two, you were in the freaking fame and fortune for very many years outperforming on stage. And you had to look good and you had to represent and you had to have a certain style. And, you know, you were in the industry. You weren't just somebody singing in your backyard. So, like, you wanted to have all that. And then, like you said, you were saved and then you moved and life is easier for you where you are now. And it's less a slower pace of life. I like visiting Florida. I don't think I could move there 100%. But what I want to do is go back and forth all the time. When
well,
I retire.
Funny thing is, when I was single, I did go back and forth. I understand that completely because I needed, I would go come here in the wintertime into Florida because it was the best weather, and then go back over there to New York in the summertime because it was buzzing, you know, and so full of life. And everybody was outside and it was just very active in New York in the summertime, you know. But what the change that I am referring to happened gradually, like you're saying. I couldn't. I had to go back and forth. I wasn't yet. I don't know. I was single. But when I got married, things started changing in me, but it was God. It took a while, though, you know? And I started wanting something that's a home. I wanted a yard. I wanted to have more for the money, you know? I wanted to still be close to city life if I want to, but I wanted to have quiet when I sleep, not buzzing all the time, even in the morning.
I agree.
So I think that happened just because I started changing about my age and being married. But the one thing that I'm talking about that started changing inside of me was that God took me out of New York to show me, too, that things are just things, and that's all they are. They're things. So material things are just material things. And so sometimes I have to step myself back and say, do I really? Because women start getting into fixing the house, you know, and decorating and all that looks, you know. So now I use more common sense when I purchase something. I go, okay, I'll use this in this room, but I can reinvent it in another room, you know, in the bedroom, let's say, the pillows or pillowcases versus those pillows that are decorative because they cost more. You just change the cover. So I'm learning how to still be myself without being so excessive. You get what I mean? So excessive.
You know what made me realize what you just said? Last month, I lost a friend that I knew for 37 years who was very well off. All the money in the world couldn't save this poor man who got cancer and passed away. This was within a month. And the little light in my head went on and said, you see that? All the things he has, all the nice cars, all the money. What good did it do? It's just a worldly possession, like the Lord says. It's your body is your church, your home. I don't know how to explain
it's
it.
Your temple, the
your
body,
soul.
It's where right. God resides in. You know, what you just said, being that we're talking about vision at the beginning and you were talking about your uncle that had passed away and now you're bringing another friend that passed away, that ties into something with my dad. Well, my dad, you know, he passed away on Labor Day of this year, 2023. When we were going through my dad's things, there was so much, you know, little things, because he too, like your room is there, your studio. That's the way my dad was about his little place, his man cave in his case. And he'd go in there and he'd spend hours with the turntable or literally doing his own mixes. My father had.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My dad had CDs galore. I mean, I can't even tell you, this is years of him doing this with his turntable. This is, again, a man who never studied music or anything. So he spent his time in there. So he had it's gonna make me cry. He had the turntable and his setup and these huge studios, like your speakers and stuff, inside a closet. Okay. So, you know, in Florida, you can do that. So we opened that closet. He had a chair, everything there. And that's what he would do. So what I'm saying is he spent hours doing that. And when he passed away, every little cranny that I could nook and cranny that I couldn't believe he had posters and autographs that I had given of other people. He had all this memorabilia. Oh my God, such excessiveness. And like you're saying, they meant the world to him when he was on earth. But when we die, our family can't keep everything. They're going to give it away. It's just the way it is. So we can't take it with us, you know? So I have a lot of his things, like the hat on the wall over here on that side. That's his hat, one of his hats. I have his nameplate there. It says Carlos by the gold leaf. That's his nameplate, you know, and I have so much of his that I had to let go because I wanted to hold on to every single one of his things. And I have a lot of his things. Just like you have a wall like that, Michael, yeah, in his music room, Michael has a lot of his things up on the wall. His posters, his music, his covers from his favorite records, all that stuff too. And what does that say? That says that exactly what you said. On this earth, it's not that we're not supposed to enjoy our life, but things are just things. And if you realize, like I realize about my mom and many others, when people become seniors of an older, mature age, let's say 70s and up, they start little by little getting rid of things in their home.
I'm doing it now.
And I started getting a little like stomach ache because I'm going to be 60. And I used to say, what are they preparing for death? But do you know what they're just like cutting things out, like that extra weight, and also lessening the weight for their family members because they're just things.
Yes, I understand.
And those things will be thrown away by other people. Some of them gone. So I get you. You know, when you said vision and a dream, because you had a vision in the dream.
I'm telling you, it was the Holy Spirit.
Oh no, absolutely.
The reason I woke up this morning, first of all, this is you calling me today to do this. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not just a coincidence. See, this is what people need to what could I say? They need to spot these things in their life, and it's God doing his work in your life. If your eyes are open, you'll see God doing his work. Like, there's no coincidences. I think that the Holy Spirit wanted me to talk about this with you. And he wants me to tell my mother.
Oh.
Because it's my mother's brother.
You go right ahead. You do that. You know why? Because it is from God. You didn't believe he had to apologize to you. So this is what I'm going to tell you. The Bible does say in I can never say this, in Habakkuk, write the vision down. What you got, write it down. Because what starts happening is if you don't write it down, you're going to forget little things. Like little things like this, write down. I saw my uncle. He was glowing. This is what he said. Those are very important. It says write the vision, make it plain on tablets. For us, it's a
when notepad. Not to cut you off, when I saw him, he was him, but he was young.
Transformed. He was transformed.
Yeah, he was young, and that smile.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to have a smile like that is if you're walking with Jesus Christ.
So look at this. Listen out. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. So you're going to give this to your mom. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. Hasten to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. So that's when you get, like, say, you got a part of it. You got a vision. You give it to somebody. You write it down. Sometimes these things come to fruition. You know, maybe it's for your mom, like you said, and your mom doesn't know yet what it is. But as your mom seeks the Lord, she will get an understanding of why this vision came to pass. It says here in an article that I'm reading that visions have multiple meanings. in the Bible, including messages sent from God as a prophecy and discernment to see the world and to correct judgment. Vision is a blessing from God that is frequently mentioned throughout scripture. And then it says, when there is a prophet among you, this is the word of God, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions and I speak to them in dreams. Numbers 12:6. Now, when we speak the word of God, all of us, we are speaking prophetically. We're speaking his word. Doesn't mean that I'm labeling myself or anybody has to label themselves as a prophet. That's a whole different study on some people who have the prophetic gift and some people who get used in this manner, like you're going to tell your mom. And it's amazing because when we get something revealed to us as a child of God and we don't understand and it doesn't seem like it's from us completely, and you sense and discern that it's supposed to be given to someone else, and you do that at the right timing, praying up first, believe me, it is what the person needed to hear. And they may not know at the time what that meant, but they're going to know because God is going to reveal it to them. And that happens. I have a friend, and I'll make this story short. This is about the same things. I have a friend that was going to be a first-time home buyer, right? She was from New York City. Her husband and her moved over here. She ended up becoming my realtor right now. That's another long story. And all of a sudden, she was praying. They were praying to be first-time home buyers. But of course, she was having those doubts, those fears, those reservations about such a big responsibility that comes with owning a home. And at that time, her job was relocating somewhere else in Florida. It was going to be so far. I mean, just little mayhem started happening as they were seeking to get this house. She continued to press through, continued to pray. And so she only knew what I'm about to tell you. She prayed to God. She said a specific prayer. And all of a sudden, she gets a call from somebody I happen to know, too, in New York City. To Florida, she called her and told her, I believe I got to tell you this. Like, you have to tell your mom something. I believe I have to tell you this. And when she told my friend broke down crying because she had prayed a prayer and she had spoken something to God. And now it was being answered by using another child of God. And she then ended up with a realtor, and that realtor took her to a lot of houses. And at first, none of them were it. She didn't feel so. By the time she found the one, later on, after she closed the housing and everything, we found out that that realtor was a cousin of an elder and a great man in the Church of New York City from years ago. So it started by you're being obedient by saying, hey, I had this dream. It was a vision, but it was still a dream. And I said, I had this. And, you know, what is this? Okay, so my uncle, I get it. All right, so this is not a forgiveness and apology for me, but then you got out of it the glow, the being in the presence of God, seeing him when he was younger, seeing him transformed and all this stuff, and possibly healed, obviously healed, internally healed and healed, you know, physically, you know. And now you're going to just go and be the messenger. That's our job. And you're going to go say, hey, mom, this is something I believe I need to tell you. And it's pray your mom through. And now your mom will seek God for a greater revelation of what is this meaning to her. But it will come to pass, because even if she don't get it now, that's God and the Holy Spirit that showed you this. It's going to come to her at the right time, because it says they're at the appointed time, at the appointed time.
Well, you know, we talked about doing this show 2 years ago. You came with the idea, and the show was based on our love for the Holy Spirit and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. His love is there. The more you want it, the more he'll give you. And the reason I'm saying this is this show was based on our love for him.
Amen.
Notice I haven't said anything the last 10 minutes. I've been letting you. You know why? Because I'm telling you, I feel the presence of the Spirit is overwhelming in me right now. And he's telling me, I'm here. I'm here. I love you. I'm here. I'm with you. He wants me to tell my mother. When we get done and sign off, I'm going to be calling my mother, because that's her brother. And I can only imagine how my mother's going to take it. But I feel blessed that, think of how many people Jesus Jesus is in their lives, how many people's lives he's in, and then to be in each one of us individually, like, is that amazing or what? Like, I just feel blessed that he cares about me enough, like, to give me what I need when I need him. I can't turn to anybody else in my life. It's him. If your eyes are open, then you're blessed. When you will see the devil coming at you. And you'll know when he's coming at you, when you'll say, no, you're not going to get me. He's going to try. And he's a sneaky, conniving, evil demon. And he tries to get you in ways that you don't even pick up on right away. But as soon as I figure it out, then I know I have to turn to God and pray and ask him to protect me from the evil one. He does it to me at work through other people. I could see him coming a mile away.
I love that when you and I get together, because that is what God has given us, we talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. And we love Jesus. Jesus is God. And there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But a lot of people, even
the Trinity.
Even people in the Lord, I'm not judging them. I had to and continue to learn. They say it. Holy Spirit is not an it. Holy Spirit is an identity. It is.
Oh, I would never say that. That's offending to God.
It actually has even been wrote wrong in the Bible, because it's the translation of the Bible. When it says it, it's not it. It, like it says, rejoice in the Lord and be happy in it. And I'm like, no, in him. That's what when I read that or hear that, I'm like, that's written wrong. That's why God says, you know, study to show thyself approved. I didn't learn that on my own. I learned that because that was taught to me correctly by the pulpit, you know, by a pastor.
I was never really clear on those 3 days where the Lord went, because he didn't ascend yet, but he rose on the third day. But where from Friday to Sunday was he is, to me, a little...
Well, he actually showed himself. He came and
right,
he showed himself.
Yes, and he before said, he ascended.
Me. Yeah,
right.
He said, do not touch me. He had purpose for showing himself to, obviously, everything that God does has purpose. So when he showed himself to these, an example to us, to the disciples, they literally didn't recognize him. Go figure. These are the things we do. You see what I'm saying? Right now on this earth, God might be showing himself to us in his goodness through someone, you know, another person, and we can't see it. For whatever reason, because we're so stuck on whatever we are seeing. We're seeing what we're seeing. We're feeling what we're feeling. And then there was Thomas. He doubted. Yet he was right there.
You're right. He had to put his finger through the hole in his hand.
And that is why, you know, there's a purpose and a lot of studying to do on why God did what he did to show us so much about ourselves. Because we only believe we can see, you know.
But remember... one of my favorite lines, blessed is he who sees and believes. More blessed is he who doesn't see and believes.
Exactly. And I think we all have struggled with that. And we have struggled from the beginning of our walk when I was young in the Lord. And then we struggle from time to time when we're supposed to be mature and we act like little babies. Because I think we all regress to that when we
call acquiring wisdom.
Yeah. And so there are times that I like, for instance, the new situation I'm in now, is it a bad one? No, but it's that waiting period. Oh, am I doing this? Am I going here? Or am I going there? Or am I going over there? Should I stay here? Am I being this way? This is the law that's going on inside of me. But, you know, the mature me and the wise me in God has to say, seek the Lord, trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. In all ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path.
Well, people need to remember that when they pray, it's not going to happen like that. Things, you don't understand why things happen in your life when they happen. And then you pray, and then a couple of weeks or maybe even a couple of months later, it all works out. And you say to yourself, oh, now I understand. The Lord did do the right thing by me. He answered my prayers. It doesn't happen like that.
I know. And it never will happen exactly the way we thought it was going to happen. But when it's God that does it, we are happy as can be. And we are like, oh!
But that's because he does, always remember this, he does what he thinks is right for you in your life. It's not what we think is right for us in my life. And you've told me that with the show. Johnny, it's not your show. It's the Lord's. He'll do as he wants with it.
Yeah. And, you know, it is one of the hardest lessons to learn. But I think that it continues to happen in our lives because there's so much other lessons we need to learn. So we may learn that lesson and we say, oh, I got that. You know, definitely, Lord, this is you. This is you. I gotta remember this show is about you, Lord. This is you. But then we start acting stupid again. I'm talking about myself. Okay. I'm going to tell you when I acted stupid. So I'm in the Lord. I'm going to be like, I don't know, I was like 47 years old, maybe 46. And I go to church and, you know, I'm waiting on God and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I'm staying, you know, abstaining, you know, and not and being celibate and doing all these things I need to do for myself as unto the Lord Jesus. And all of a sudden I say to God, well, God, you haven't brought me my husband, my mate. So I got this. You see how quickly we can say things like that and take matters into our own hands?
Huh? I can't do anything. I can't do anything without asking for him to lead me.
Johnny, in the right direction. But you have made errors too and taken your eyes a minute off. That's what I mean.
Oh my goodness.
So for a minute, you took your eyes off of God and you're like, what the heck did I focus on this instead of focusing on you?
I'm trying to get smarter as I get older. I amaze myself sometimes.
You see, because the Bible says that temptation's always going to be there. Oh yeah, temptation to do X, Y, or Z. Temptation to take your eyes off of God. Temptation to do what I did, take your will back. And you want to know something? But the Bible says He makes a way out.
Amen. God.
So we have that opportunity and some of us fall short. I did it. I fell short. You know, I messed up at that time. And we have to take a step back and say, whoa, like hold, take the reins of the horse. Whoa. Because if we don't say that, we are going to get ourselves in so much trouble.
Amen.
And, you know, if we could say anything is we don't have to share the horror stories of whatever we did, you know, but we got to give glory to God that he snapped us out of it and that he snapped us out of it quickly.
Yeah, no, you don't want to hear none of my stories.
No, because I got plenty of them. No, you know what my first pastor, Amy Cortese, God bless her soul, what she used to say to us, share your testimony, but don't share your war stories. The details sometimes are not as important unless you're with a friend of yours, a guy, and you or some trusting sister, and you just know that she's like your sister, you know, then you want to say, hey, this happened, that happened, because you're entrusting that, not because you're trying to tempt them in any way. That's the reason God wants us to be careful who we share, so that we will not tempt another person to do something as stupid as I did, you know what I'm saying, or as stupid as you might have done. So in all this, why Johnny and I love coming together is because we have great conversations about the Holy Spirit. But we know
I like is it's live, it's raw, it's real. It's just us being, we're not two religious freaks. We're talking about what we love talking about the most, Jesus Christ, our Savior, my favorite subject.
Thing is, you know, that this is the time now. And I know we've heard this in the past when we might have not been serving the Lord, you know, but we got to say it. Times are changing and time always changes. You know, that's just life. Obviously, it has to evolve. It has to move. But the changes, as the Bible said, they become even more and more worse. They become worse. The lines are blurred now in so many aspects, you know, of people's lives. The generations of the past that still had some God in them, some reverence in them, is dissipating, is disappearing. So we are held accountable by God as believers to be able to do what we're doing and to let people know that serving Jesus Christ isn't a life sentence of no joy. It is actually freedom. It is not being imprisoned. It's being free. And when you give your heart to the Lord, something happens. It's like you supernaturally feel shackles start coming off of you that you didn't even know you had.
Amen.
But the world tells us that serving God, because we're thinking religiosity, is rules and regulations and confinement of some type and no fun. When in reality, you just take that first step saying, I want you. I need you in my heart. I need you in my heart. And you keep seeking and keep learning. You get hungrier because the Holy Spirit gives you that. Then the Holy Spirit deposits. The Bible says that the measure of faith was deposited in us, all that serve him. That's deposited. Now we gotta work that faith out. We have to work it out in our salvation. We have to walk it. We have to grow. So what would you tell people out there that are just so like, oh, I'm not a first thing they say is I'm not a religious person. That's good for you, but ain't good.
It's very easy. It's very simple. Uh-huh. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your savior and tell him you love him. That's the key to the kingdom right there.
And if you can't say you love him, because there are some people that have had problems with a father figure and we call the Lord our father, then just say exactly what you said. Anything like, hey, you know, I want to get to know you. You know, like I said, if there's a God out there, then show yourself to me. If it bothers you to use the word father because of that, a bad situation with father, just know that you just need him. You need something greater than yourself.
I call him my savior.
Yeah, you see?
My savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, died, and rose again on the third day for forgiveness of our sins as humans. The living God, the Holy Trinity.
Absolutely.
You believe in that? That's the key to the kingdom.
And once you give your heart to the Lord, and we keep saying, what do you mean? There's a God up there. Please show yourself to me because I don't know who you are. That doesn't offend God when we say things like that. It doesn't offend him at all. And I assure you, we assure you, as we have had our testimonies, that God will show himself to you. And the rest is between you and God. Because God takes you there and continues to take you there. When I had no pastor, no church, and I had accepted the Lord in New York City, and I ran off to do more music, and I was still talking to God, and I had confessed him, and I went, in my case, I went to an altar call in a youth event, and I said, you know, and all that. So I told him, show yourself to me, and then he did, and then I gave my heart to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? It was a walk. He put people in my life, and it took me there. What happened? I go to Chicago and I'm feeling something quite different and beautiful. Like you said, the Holy Spirit, I am feeling way different when I confess what I confessed. And I'm having this realization of things, like my eyes become open. Like they say, those scales come off your eyes. And I look at myself in the mirror as a recording artist saying something inside wasn't matching what I was visually seeing on the outside. Only God can show us that within ourselves. And I took a step and a step and a step at a time by having conversations with God, speaking to him, reading the Bible with no pastor, being isolated in Chicago. And we assure you that the Holy Spirit is so gentle, so loving, never forceful, never comes to you with a belt or with a loud, terrible, hurting voice. God comes to you with love. As you grow older in the Lord, there are times you might hear, sense the word of God in a very more loud and boisterous way. Well, our Father knows that we are mature enough and he needs to get our attention. And if it means to say, hey, I said, he's a parent. He's our Father. He's only telling us that in love. But he never gives us more than we can handle. He never will find us down in tears and shout at us. He never sees us hurting for the loss of a loved one and just leave us there. Never. You know, when you said you had that dream and it's the brother and it's someone who passed away. Well, we think, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it straight out, that people go to our loved one goes to heavens and become angels. That is not biblical whatsoever. They are not angels.
I don't believe that.
But there are many Christians and non-Christians because it gives them peace. Well, the peace that we should all have is just knowing the best thing is that your loved one, if they love Jesus, follow Jesus, had an encounter with Jesus, right? We have no idea what happens at the end, you know? You know, if they did all this and gave their hearts to Jesus, guess what? They're in heaven with Jesus. They're not angels. They're with him in his presence. They don't get turned into angels. So God will send a dream like he did with me, or he gave me, something happened to me supernaturally in the home when my father died that week. I had 3 occurrences that allowed me through God, it was God, to sense and know that my father was with him. And that didn't happen because I had a visitation from anybody. That happened because the Holy Spirit was the one that visited me. But God will use in the dream those that we love, because that's how we see it. So this is the Holy Spirit speaking through his creation, because when we look at a human being that we knew that we loved. We see somebody we love. The message is coming like that about that person, but it's not the person in being an angel. It's God breathing, showing, and giving us that visual so that we understand what, amen, you know what you're saying. And that's the thing that people don't understand. So yes, I could have a dream about my dad. Or yes, I hear a song and something happens. And yes, I believe that you can have what happened to me, I've heard happen to other people. And it was just the fact that he had just passed away. I started whistling a song, and I'm not a whistler. That's what the key was, that I didn't remember and didn't know why I was whistling it. Well, I'm going to tell you guys in a short form. When I said, wait a minute, this song, what is this song? So I took Google and I started whistling to Google on the app. And all of a sudden it brought me to I Did It My Way by Frank Sinatra. Now, guys out there listening, you might think that I was going to come up with a Christian song. This is why I had a visitation. This is why I know it was the Holy Spirit. So all of a sudden I'm reading the words and I'm going, what is this? And then it says, when the curtain closes, and this and that, and I did it my way, and I heard in my spirit, like the voice of my father, earthly father, that had passed away. I heard him say, I did it my way, but I am here. Now, you're going to say that was the person. God used, that was God's voice using my father that had just passed.
To get your attention.
Exactly. Right. And guess what? Why was it a whistle? My father was a singer, because my father had dementia. And when he couldn't remember lyrics anymore, he'd whistle all day long. That's why. So yes, you can get a message that you've been longing for, possibly, and God knows you need it, from someone who's passed away. Not every day, just to give you that comfort. But it comes from the Holy Spirit of God, who in his love gave you that. So that, amen, you can find peace, not an angel.
So how do you want to close out this great show that we did today?
Well, we want to encourage everybody that's out there listening to take out the word religion out of what we're talking about. To remember, amen, yeah, that we've all had hurts and pains and maybe difficulties at home, not good fathers, maybe not good mothers. We've all had some kind of dysfunction and hurt in our lives, or regrets, and we've hurt others and now can't forgive ourselves. But there is a power greater than ourselves named Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We cannot go to the Father unless we go through the Son, which is Jesus. When we accept Jesus, he imparts his Holy Spirit to us and inside of us, so that we have a part of who he is. And instead of feeling an instinct and intuition, we're feeling a tug of his spirit leading us into the right direction, healing us, revealing to us those things that need to be healed. He is merciful. He is loving. He is kind. He is gentle. He is real. Just say, I'm here. Show yourself to me. That's enough. And just keep looking and keeping your eyes on him, and you're going to see how your life, amen, can be changed. So thank you. Thank you for, amen, tuning in today to Two is Better Than One with your host, Arlene, and
DJ Johnny C, Club Planet B. Live Thursday nights at 7, every other Thursday from New York.
And he does music. That's what he's doing, music, entertainment, and showing you things. But he joins in here as a man of God to talk inspiration and words to you all with me. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. Remember to check Johnny out on his YouTube channel. And please check me out on all the actual podcasts that I have. And links are all going to be down in the description. And Johnny's link is going to be on the description. And his merchandise is going to be there, his links and my merchandise. And you have yourself all a blessed day or whenever it is. And don't forget, like we say at the end of every video, I say on my videos,
thank you,
adelante.
Johnny, too.
Siga adelante. Not as good as you, but I know the words.
John. That means keep moving forward. Until next time, guys.
Don't forget to subscribe to Adelante.
This is DJ Johnny C. Two is better than one.
Share my videos.
It doesn't get better than this. One out.